Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken but endures forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. Peace be upon Israel. Amen. This is God's word. Stories told of a monastery in Portugal perched high on a 3,000-foot cliff accessible only by a terrifying ride in a swaying basket. The basket is pulled with a single rope by several strong men sweating under the strain. One tourist who visited the site got just a little bit nervous halfway up the cliff when he noticed that the rope was old and frayed. Hoping to relieve his fears, he asked the question, "How often do you change the rope?" The monk in charge replied, "Whenever it breaks." Well, in this life, many of the things people turn to for security feel like one of those old and fraying ropes, and they're just waiting for it to break. We used to trust in our jobs, but there are fewer jobs for life anymore. We used to trust in our investments, but then the stock market crash happened a number of years back. We used to trust in our pensions, but I'm not sure any of them are going to be worth very much by the time that some of us get to that stage. We trust in our jobs, our talents, our families, our possessions, but not many of them are strong, and not many of them are stable, not many of them are secure. For those who trust in the Lord, though, our security is different. It's strong and it's secure and it lasts forever. Psalm 125 is a psalm about security. This is a cry for peace and security from the psalmist. This is the third and the latest trilogy of the Songs for the Journey, those songs of ascent. The children of Israel are traveling up to Jerusalem for one of the annual festivals or feasts, and they're singing as they go. These songs remind them of who God is and all God has done in their lives. These songs lift their eyes to the one who is steady and who is unchanging, who is interested in their lives and who watches over them. Each triplet, you'll remember, or if you're new amongst us tonight, each triplet begins with terror, moving on to trust, and then finishing up with triumph. The first psalm begins with despair and distress. The second one moves on to the power of God and our trust in Him. And the third one finishes it off with the security of being God's children and rejoicing in Him. Here in this song, we find the Lord protecting and providing for His people. Evil men might be all around them. The wicked might seem to be prospering. They may be facing ridicule and contempt, but their hope is in the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Their trust is in the one who has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. And our hope and trust is in the same God who has promised us eternal life through Jesus Christ, His Son. Let's rejoice in that tonight as we offer up our cry of peace and security. The opening three verses remind us of the Lord who protects His people. The Lord protects His people. As they sing this song, they're climbing towards the city, towards Jerusalem. As the pilgrims make their way towards Jerusalem, their eyes are on the hills and the mountains, and it sets them to thinking about where their help comes from. And we've seen that in so many of these songs of ascent already. In Psalm 121, it said, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." Psalm 123, verse 1, "I lift up my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven." And this psalm has something of the same feature there. The mountains and the hills surrounding Jerusalem get the pilgrims thinking once more. I don't know about you, but I love walking up some of our hills in Scotland. These are great monuments of God's creation. They're strong and they're steady, they're secure, and they're lasting. They've stood for thousands of years, the beauty and majesty of them. And whenever you climb to the top, you're always able to look around. And I don't think it matters what mountain you climb in Scotland. When you get to the top and you look around, you see an awful lot of other mountains and hills all around. You also get to see the valleys and the streams. And it's so peaceful. And it's so majestic. So beautiful. And it reminds me of the great and mighty God that we worship and adore. My mind often wanders off at the top of a hill to consider God in His majesty, the God who made the mountains, and the God who made me, the God who loves me and cares for me, the God who protects me and provides for me, the God who is with me always and is leading me towards my eternal home. And so going to the feasts gave the children of Israel the opportunity to walk around the city and to observe the natural defense that the surrounding mountains gave to the city. And as they did so, they compared these natural defenses to the spiritual protection that they had in God. This psalm likens the Lord to the mountains. And as we think on the Lord protecting us, notice three things here. Firstly, that He secures us. Verse 1, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. He looks to Mount Zion, in which Jerusalem stands, where the temple was built, and realizes that it cannot be moved. The mountain is firm, it is stable, and it's secure. The city of Jerusalem was built on a solid foundation of rock that went deep into the ground. The city was surrounded by a number of hills and probably two sets of walls. Even more, Jerusalem was home to the holy temple of Jehovah and to the throne of God, to the throne of David there as well, actually. God's glory and God's authority dwell among His people. Here is stability. Here is security. And the psalmist says that those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion. The Lord secures us. The Lord keeps us safe. It's the Lord that brings stability to our lives. And I want us to notice that the psalmist isn't looking to Mount Zion for security. He's not looking to the hills that are around him. That might have been the temptation when he lifted his eyes to the hills when he thought on Mount Zion. But no, he is looking to the Lord. He says those who trust in the Lord. Not those who trust in the mountains. Not those who trust in the natural world. Not those who trust in men. Not those who trust in their jobs, their self, their family, or anything else. But those who trust in the Lord will not be shaken. The most stable, rock-solid people on earth are those who are trusting in the Lord, come what may. Trusting in His promises, trusting in His providence. When trials come, the psalmist says that you will be immovable. You will be anchored. You will not collapse and panic in hardships. You won't sink. Now, that doesn't mean we won't be alarmed, that you won't be worried or anxious, but it does mean that we know who to look to, who to cling to, who to depend upon. I think many times we're alarmed, but then by God's grace, He gives us the power to process the difficulty through the eyes of faith. This may take a few minutes. It might take a few days. Hey, listen, it might even take a few months or even a few years. But the Lord intends to teach us to trust in Him with the difficulties of life. And when we do that, we become like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken. He secures us, but He also surrounds us. In verse 2, He says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. Mount Zion wasn't the highest peak of the mountain range that was around Jerusalem. Other mounts were higher. And those surrounding mountains provided protection for the city as well. The armies would have to march up the mountains or through the mountain passes, which left them very vulnerable. Jerusalem was thus a very defensible place. The hills served as a great wall. The psalmist is saying here that God surrounds His people. He said something similar back in Psalm 34, verse 7, where he said, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear Him, and He delivers them. Nothing will come into your life, my friend, that isn't permitted by God for the good of the person trusting in Him and for the glory of God. He will protect you. Isn't that a wonderful, beautiful image? When you're in the midst of trial, when you feel surrounded by your enemies, when the lights have gone out and hope with them, to think that you are surrounded by the Lord, like Jerusalem is surrounded by the mountains, is a strengthening and a comforting thought. The Gettys, in a recent song about the Holy Spirit, as they sing the song, I think it's called Holy Spirit and something about oboe in there or something. But towards the end of the song, as the music's still playing, Kristen Getty starts to quote and paraphrase, actually, a prayer of St. Patrick. And it's Christ with me and Christ before me. Christ behind me and Christ in me. Christ beneath me and Christ above me. Christ to my right and Christ to my left. Christ when I lie down and Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me. Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me. And Christ in every ear that hears me. It's a picture of being surrounded by Jesus. And the words could have come right out of this psalm, surrounded by the Lord, when the King of Kings is with you and is protecting you like this, then you are secure. Those who trust in the Lord are given stability and they're surrounding and are surrounding by God. We need fear nothing, for the Lord is on our side. We need fear nothing, for the Lord secures us. We need fear nothing, for the Lord surrounds us. And then thirdly, just see that as the Lord protects his people, he also sustains us. He sustains us. Listen again to verse 1. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Verse 2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people, both now and forevermore. There's a sustaining there. And isn't that what we need in the midst of trial? Isn't that what we need in this life? A supply, a divine supply to endure the trials and to endure the tribulations. And there it is. It's a word from the Lord of encouragement and of promise, stability, surrounding, sustaining when you need it the most. Trust in the Lord. That you see and hear those words forever, both now and forevermore. Since we trust in the Lord, we endure forever. Since we trust in the Lord, he surrounds us always and forever. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, which abides forever. Zion is a city that is going to abide forever. It's the only city in the world that is truly eternal. Poets call Rome the eternal city, but that's wrong. It's Jerusalem, Mount Zion. It will endure as long as the world shall last. And then after that, do you know what? Revelation 21 says, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. So Zion will endure throughout the history of this world. And at the end of world history, when the earth and the heavens are recreated, there will be Zion once again as the eternal capital of God's eternal empire. What a future we have. The Lord secures us and the Lord surrounds us and the Lord sustains us, not just now, but he sustains us and surrounds us and secures us forever and forever. That sustaining is also seen there in verse 3, when if the people will trust in God, then they will be protected from wicked leaders. It says, the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous, for then the righteous might use their hands to do evil. A scepter of wickedness represents an evil king. And the psalm is saying that no evil leader will be allowed to come against Jerusalem if the people will trust in God. But if they put their trust in horses, if they put their trust in chariots, destruction will result, which actually, if you know anything about the history of Israel, is exactly what happened. Instead of trusting God, they put their trust in men. Many would use their hands, therefore, to do evil. It proved to be disastrous. While Israel did have to endure godless rulers, the psalmist is still instilling the ideal principle. God will not allow the unrighteous to rule his people forever. In the New Testament, we know that the King of Kings has come and will come again to set up his eternal kingdom forever. With that hope, we are secure. Friends, the Lord protects his people. We're reminded of that here and called to put and to keep our trust in the Lord. He secures us. He surrounds us. He sustains us. You know, when the psalmist was a little boy, he saw the mountains surrounding Jerusalem. When he became a young man, the mountains were still there. When he grew older, the mountains were there, and the mountains are still there today. Likewise with God. He is stable and dependable. He does not change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Trust in the Lord. But you know, the song doesn't finish there. For we go on in verses 4 and 5 to see that the Lord provides for his people. He protects us and he provides for us. What a mighty and gracious God that we serve, friends. The psalmist turns from speaking about God to speaking to God. His practice here is one that we should actually imitate in our lives. When we've been meditating on God, when we've been thinking on the promises, his promises or his actions in the Bible, we should turn those thoughts into relevant prayers. The author knows the people of God are in need of this continual provision. And again, notice three ways that the Lord provides. The Lord does good. He does good. The psalmist says that those who trust in the Lord learn of God's goodness and seek his provision for all their needs. The psalm shifts to a prayer there. Do good, verse 4. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. Those who do good. Those who are upright are those who trust in the Lord from verse 1. Trusting precedes doing good works. Trusting precedes practicing righteousness. Do you remember Ephesians 2, 8 and 10, very famous verses in Scripture? For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's a gift of God, not by works so that no one can boast, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Having said that, of course, let's not minimize the implied call to godliness here. God's people should reflect God's character. The psalmist is asking God to bless those who walk in God's ways. He knows God is good. And so he asks for God's blessing. He asks for God's favor. James says in his letter, he says, God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Good man on the ball tonight. To the humble. So humble yourself before God. Walk in holiness. Seek for his grace. For the Lord is good and he does good. And the psalmist prays that those who are upright in heart, those who are trusting the Lord and exercising patience as they wait for him, will enjoy his good things. In the language of Psalm 23, he wants the Lord's goodness to follow them wherever they go. The goodness of the Lord includes many things. The assurance of his love, the comfort of the Scriptures, the sense of his shepherding care, the awareness of his sovereignty, and many more such things. What a range of blessings is found in that small word, good, there, by the way. What a variety of blessings we can pray for ourselves and for one another to receive. But not only does the Lord do good, we also see that the Lord disciplines evil. Verse 5, but those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish with the evildoers. We often get concerned that the wicked prosper while the afflicted suffer. Here's a reminder, should we need it, from our knowledge of and reading of other scriptures, that God does deal with evil. He will bring his judgment to bear. He will exercise discipline in his perfect timing. It might be here on earth, or it might be before the final judgment seat, but be assured that God does discipline evil. The psalmist reminds us of another important principle. if people choose the wrong paths, if they choose crooked ways, as it says there, the Lord will shepherd them as well, except he will lead them into the path of destruction. This is a reminder that sinners cannot oppose God and get away with it. In a sense, God gives them the path that they choose, which is rather solemn. Such removals are acts of divine kindness to his church. When his enemies fail to repent and instead persist in opposing his people, the Lord eventually intervenes and removes those who have been attacking his kingdom. It's a follow-up to verse 3, isn't it? That statement that the scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. God deals with sin, and God deals with sinners. So the option in this chapter is actually pretty simple. It's either blessing or it's banishment. Trust in God and receive blessing, especially eternal blessing, or reject God and perish. Those who trust God know that he is holy and that he must not be trifled with. And finally, see that the Lord delivers peace. Here's the encouragement tonight. The end of the song says, "Peace be upon Israel." This is the psalmist's prayer for the land and for the people. He's asking the Lord to provide peace for them. We should note the certainty of it. We should note the comprehensiveness of it. Peace will be theirs wherever they are, and it will be theirs at all times. The peace of God is not merely the absence of hostilities, though. I think we want to be clear on that. It's not just the absence of hostilities. When a conflict ceases between two warring countries, the new situation is termed peace. Yet those countries can be in ruins. Their inhabitants can be in mourning. Their economies can be devastated. Their futures can be uncertain. That's not peace. Not peace in my book. How different is the relationship between God and sinners when peace is made? Instead of being ruined, the sinner leaves the ruins behind. Instead of mourning his losses, the sinner now rejoices in new relationships. Instead of being poor, we have become immeasurably rich. Instead of having some vague future, we now enjoy the security that comes from the promises of God. These blessings and many, many more are included in the peace of God. This is really the theme of the psalm. If you trust God, you can know his peace. If you trust in the Lord, you will know God's peace. If you don't trust in him, you'll freak out. You'll worry. You will be restless. But you can find rest when you rest in him. As believers, we rest in God until we experience total shalom, total peace. In the New Testament, in Philippians 4 and 6, remember what Paul says? He says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Bring your petitions to God. Don't worry about anything, but pray about everything, and you can know the peace of God that will guard your heart. Friends, tonight, just rejoice in this remarkable cry for peace and security. Trust in the Lord completely. The Lord protects his people as he secures us, as he surrounds us, as he sustains us. The Lord provides for his people as he does good, as he disciplines evil, and as he delivers peace. Let's be like the psalmist tonight and trust God and experience his stability in the midst of chaos. Let's trust God tonight and experience his security in the midst of fear. Let's trust God and know that he is with us always and sustains us to the very end. Let's trust God and experience his goodness in times of need. Let's trust God tonight and know that he has and he does and he will deal with evil. And let's trust God tonight and know his peace at all times, in every situation, and in every way. Those who trust in the Lord, says the psalmist, are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. Let's pray together.